Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. These words from the Gospel of St. Luke give us more information on the early life of Jesus, continuing after the Epiphany during these days. Today's Gospel focuses on the time in the Paschal season when the family, Holy Family of many Jews, would go to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple. And Jesus is in a way lost. Of course, he's not lost because he is God. Mother Mary and Joseph don't know where he is. This happened because each one thought he was with the other. Earlier in these days, Jesus would travel with the women as a young boy. Then later he would travel as a man, so they got a little confused themselves, thinking that maybe he was with the other. But in either case, he was not there. This is a great mystery, my dear friends. Why did God wish that his son would spend 3 days, think about it, a 12-year-old boy talking to the doctors and the leaders of the Jews in the temple? And he amazed them with his questions and his answers, and they were astonished. I often think of this mystery and wonder why the Father allowed it. It was, of course, as we see later on, for the salvation of souls. Maybe, of course, he wanted these leaders of the Jews to be aware of Jesus. Now just think, just a bare 18 years later, maybe 20, when Jesus is 22, when Jesus is 33 years of age, many of them would still be alive and would see Jesus of Nazareth. I wondered how many of them thought of the young boy in the temple. How many of them realized that this was the same young boy? Of course, for 3 years, when Jesus was traveling public ministry, I'm sure they had listened to him. Maybe they even saw a resemblance to the boy. And maybe some of them even believed. We hope so. I like to think they did. I have a particular favorite of mine, Gamaliel. You remember Gamaliel? He was one of the teachers of St. Paul. And when the Jews wanted to kill the apostles, he stood up and said, "If this is from God, you cannot destroy it. If it's from man, it will be destroyed by itself." And he preferred that they leave it alone, rather they fight with God himself. Maybe he was influenced by this Jesus. And I'm sure somewhere along the way, I don't know, but I think he became a Christian. So many, many people these days of Jesus had the truth and were won over to his way of life and his way of doing it. So many Roman soldiers, if you read the Dolorous Passion of Catherine Emmerich, you realize there were so many soldiers, so many people. When these events were happening, we think that Jesus was in a way alone on the cross and crucified, and he did die alone with, of course, only Mary and Mary, his mother Mary, and John and Mary Magdalene, a few other women at the thing. But there were many, many who saw what was going on. Even passers-by were astounded at what the Jews were doing to this man. And some of them cried out, "What are you doing? How can you ill-treat a man so terribly?" So there were a lot of good souls. And if you think about what happened after Pentecost, and 5,000 men were converted Pentecost Day, and 3,000 the next day, or vice versa, we see how so many followed Jesus. And it was so wonderful. And of course, the apostles went to all the other lands, and this is the Father's business. And Jesus was just beginning, in a way. He wasn't in his public ministry, because that was not going to be until he was 30, but this is what the Father wanted. So it's a wonderful thing that we see here. Jesus doing the Father's business. And his mother, of course, was sorrowful, and she said, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow, thy father and I have been seeking thee." And Jesus replied, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" The Father's business, my friends, is the salvation of souls. This is, as I tell you many times, the highest law. Salus animarum suprema lex. The salvation of souls is the highest law. There's nothing more important in this world than the salvation of souls. Why else are we here? We're here to save our souls, so that we all go to heaven. That's why Jesus came. He came for the salvation of souls. And of course, that's why Our Lady came to Fatima. She came for the salvation of souls. And this is what we need to be doing, saving as many souls as we can with our prayers, asking Our Lady to save souls, especially those in our families, all those people we see, all those who come into our lives. And we want to save as many souls as we can. So we see this beautiful mystery, and it reminds us of a few teachings of our faith. The most important thing that we have, of course, is to be obedient to God's will. To be obedient to God's will. That's what Jesus shows us. The second is charity. To have charity and to all our relations. We see this in St. Paul's reading today. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. Charity, the bond of perfection, as he says in the epistle for today, "Put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, goodness, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so do you also." So there's what we have to do. These are the virtues that we have to practice. We must have charity, which is the bond of perfection for everybody. It's the most important thing. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us this. All of our moral virtues must be motivated by charity, or else they are not meritorious. And if we're not in the state of grace, we cannot merit anything. We have to be without mortal sin, right? No mortal sin on our soul, or else we cannot merit. Our soul is dead. Without charity in our soul, that's what mortal sin means. You have committed a mortal sin, so you now have lost sanctifying grace, and you have lost the love of God. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, "It is charity which united our will to that of God in the most perfect fashion. From charity, all other virtues are derived and take their strength. Charity is the end in view." So there it is. Charity has to be the end in view. Everything else is a means to charity. But charity is the end in view. All other things are means to that end. Therefore, there are no limits to the extent of charity, but there are limits to the other virtues. So this is important too. And we also know we want to have reason why there is so much unhappiness in the world is because people do not have charity in their hearts. There's no peace in their hearts. Peace implies right order of things. When we have ordered our lives to God with charity, we will be at peace. If we have not ordered our lives to God and His will, then we will never be at peace with ourselves and with others. So this is a most important thing. And Jesus says, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." If we do not keep the commandments, we do not love God, we will never be at peace. That's why there's so many people in bad marriages, so many people who are not married, and that's why they're unhappy. How can they live together when they're living in sin? Those people who divorce and remarry, those people who live together without the benefit of the sacrament of matrimony, and so on. So my friends, they'll never be at peace if you're not doing God's will and you have disordered affections for others, all right? Outside of marriage or without, living in sin with a partner, as it were, all right? That lovely word that people use all the time, my partner. I remember once when one lady came to me, I had a fight with my partner, as if it was okay to have a partner. So I says, oh, let me see here. You have a partner, that means you're not married. She said, yes, I'm not married. So I said, that's a big sin. That you should be confessing now. Confessing that you're living in partnership, as it were, with somebody, right? Partnership, which is usually in business a nice term, certainly is not a good term for marriage. You need a spouse in marriage, and your marriage must be blessed. And those people who do not have their marriage blessed will never be in peace. They are in a disordered relationship, which will never bring peace. They'll never be happy until they get to confession. And that's why we need to tell people. I'm telling you this now so that you tell everybody. You have a responsibility. If you know somebody in your family who's living with a partner, you have to tell them. Thomas Aquinas says the only time you wouldn't tell them, if you've already told them a few times and every time you tell them they get into a rage and get so angry, you're not supposed to tell them because then you're causing sin. You've already told them and they won't listen. So now you pray for them. But you do have the obligation first to tell them that they must be married. They must go to confession and get their relationship blessed by the church. This is a grave obligation that they have, and also a grave obligation that you have. Pope Leo XIII said, if you see evil and you do not say anything, you are more responsible than the one doing the evil. Why is that? Because you know better. Maybe they don't know better. Maybe they don't know. So you have to tell them. That's your responsibility, and you will be accounted for by God. If you do not tell people, admonish the sinner of their sins, you are responsible, and you should confess that. And you should ask the priest for guidance on how you may do it, and so on and so forth. Because it's so important to admonish the sinner and have the people that you see committing sin and to realize their sin. If they're Catholics, get to confession. Make a good confession. That also is so important. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Jesus tells his mother. I must be about my Father's business, which is the saving of souls. Right? In Jesus' reply to his mother, we see the essence of true charity. Jesus must obey his Father first and foremost. It was his Father's will that Jesus spend these 3 days in the temple praying and listening to and asking the Jewish doctors of the law questions about the Messiah. Jesus' time away from Joseph and Mary was so mysterious, and they did not fully understand. And they understood, as Luke tells us, and they understood not the word that he spoke. St. Bede tells us that Jesus blames her not because she sought him as her son, but forces her to raise the eyes of her mind to what he owes his eternal Father. So Jesus, in his reply, asks his mother to realize that he has a greater, graver obligation to his Father. Now, you know, in order to understand Jesus Christ, we must understand he has two natures, the nature of man and the nature of God. And he has to live according to both. As a man, he has to eat and sleep and drink and so on and obey his parents and so forth. But as of God, he has other obligations. This is what we call theandric aspect of his life. Theandric, theos, which relates to God, that part of his life that relates to God. So the theandric part of his life is that he must obey his Father first. And this is what he does to why he spent this time in the temple instructing, because it was the Father's will. So this is the mystery. Jesus must obey his Father rather than men. And same with us. We have to obey the Father too, but Jesus, of course, has a graver obligation because he's also God, and he has to obey his Father. So, my dear friends, in this beautiful mystery, which is the fifth joyful mystery, we should see a wonderful teaching. The Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, so together, so perfect, and we want to relate our own families to them and pray to the Holy Family. No greater family ever existed, of course, because we have Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Immaculate Conception, never having committed sin, and the most chaste virgin, bride of a spouse of Mary, St. Joseph, whom among many the theologians say is one of the greatest of saints in heaven. So, my dear friends, we pray to them our rosary, because the family that prays together, especially the rosary, will stay together. And we want to do this in these times because these are very difficult times. And we're in one of the greatest, if not the greatest, crisis the church has ever seen. So we need to do more, much more. Don't want to be around later on and said, when we look at these days and we say, gee, I didn't realize it was so bad. I should have done a lot more. I didn't know what was going on. Well, we got to know what's going on. We also have to live according to some of the prophecies of Our Lady, especially at Fatima. All right? She said so much at Fatima. And she said, many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. That I've already mentioned about. That's your business, to pray and sacrifice for souls. Sacrifice. And what's a sacrifice? Anything you don't want to do. Do it for the glory of God. Picking up a piece of paper, sweeping the floor, making the beds, right? Getting up out of bed, right? Going to Mass and so on. Anything you don't like doing, make it a sacrifice. Pray and sacrifice, the angel said, and make everything a sacrifice. If you don't like doing something, do it for the love of God. Jesus, I don't like doing this, but I'll do it for you. Mary, I don't want to do this, but because you want me to do it, I'll do it for you. And my dear friends, you'll have great joy in that when you do sacrificing yourself for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, for the family. And we want to pray the Holy Rosary in the family. The family that prays together stays together. So today on this day, I didn't mention today, but this is the day of the Holy Family. We want to consecrate our families to the Holy Family, and we want to imitate them, teach our children. That's why it's so good to see children here tonight with their parents, children being brought up in the Catholic faith. How blessed, how wonderful. And being brought into this world, my dear friends, it is so wonderful to bring children into the world out of obedience to God. Going therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Increase and multiply. My dear friends, that's another thing you should tell people. No contraception. If you know they're contracepting, you have to say something, because that's a very big sin. And we want to bring children into this world so we can have holy families like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. May the Lord bless you.